This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, what's up, New Orleans? What's up across the Gulf South? And what's up to you listening wherever you are tonight at WWL.com or the Radio.com app? Welcome on into the show. Only had 2 days last week. I missed you. I was just talking to Tim about that. We actually won't be off the air for LSU baseball tomorrow, so it's cool. Need to see more of each other. Need to hear more of each other. Got a lot to talk about. NFL draft just a few days away. We'll discuss the Saints possibly moving up from round two. In fact, that's our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll tonight. Should the Saints trade up in the draft? And more specifically, should they trade up into the first round of the draft? They would have to give up a lot to do so. But a lot of fans, a lot of you think that they should get up there and grab an impact player in round one. Also, LSU baseball perhaps saved their season against Florida. Might be a little hyperbolic, but not far off there. Just got drilled in the opening game of that series, and the sky was falling, and Paul Maneri depressed over in the dugout, and people were wondering, has the bottom fell out of this team? They did not. They won the final two games of that series, won the series, and they're back to just a game out of first place in the SEC West. A lot of issues still with that team. Top of the list, certainly injuries, but they might have saved their season. We'll talk a lot of LSU and LSU baseball in hour number two, including with Brian Lazar, senior writer for TigerBait.com, covering LSU baseball, and Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com. Doug Mouton on the program at 8:35. We'll talk drafts and probably a little Pelicans also. And, of course, open lines for you all first hour and text lines. Area code 504-260-1870. That's our phone number, 504-260-1870. And the text line is 870-870. I'll say before we get into sports, I was out again yesterday here on Easter downtown and saw a little bit of the parade that was going on down through Bourbon Street. What a fantastic celebration that is. And I kind of forget about it every single year just because we got Mardi Gras, then we have festival season. But what can this city throw a party? If you've never been downtown during Easter, and I have a few times, do yourself a favor and do it. A little public PSA from yours truly here. We'll get into the NFL draft in just a little bit. But I wanted to start and just comment on what happened when we were off the air with Will Wade being ruled that he didn't have to, a federal judge says he would not have to testify in the latest college basketball corruption trial that is, well, it did begin today in the Southern District of New York. This is the second trial. The U.S. attorneys, of course, had one last October where multiple people were sent to prison and found guilty in and around this. And LSU was wondering, and certainly Will Wade was wondering himself, what's going to happen there? What's he going to say once he goes on the stand? Big news when he was subpoenaed to testify, and really that led to his suspension, which led to eventually his reinstatement and then led to Joe Oliva's firing. Not going to convince me otherwise. Certainly a celebration for LSU fans over the weekend. Celebration doesn't mean vindication, though. This was a great day for Will Wade. It was a great day for LSU baseball, basketball, rather, where their head coach is no longer, at least immediately, going to be surrounded by this. The questions that we will have as this trial goes on, a lot of them will be answered, including, are any more of those transcripts of the wiretaps going to be read in this case? Will Wade's name pop up there in that trial? No, he's not going to have to testify, but it's likely that his name will be brought up. It's not a vindication, not an exoneration, but it certainly gets Will Wade and LSU basketball a little bit further away from this mess, this dark cloud that hangs over really the entirety of college basketball. This is going to be ugly, and this isn't going to be the end of it, and it's certainly not going to be the end of any investigation by the NCAA into Arizona or LSU or any of the other programs connected to this. But it was a big win. What a week for Will Wade. Reinstated, the guy who suspended him fired, and then now he doesn't have to testify. And yes, that trial started today, again, in the Southern District of New York. It'd be something to keep an eye on. Try to keep tuned in to that, as it's likely, again, that we're going to find out a lot more about just how deep the corruption is running in college basketball. We all know it runs pretty deep. Text from the 985, are you or any of the other WWL radio personalities going to make personal appearances during the draft this year? Yeah, we will, although not Thursday. Thursday, we're doing shows in studio, but Friday and Saturday, you betcha, and that's because the Saints should have picks on Friday and Saturday. On Friday, you can join us at Desi Vegas Seafood and Prime Steaks out in Metairie from 4 to midnight. We'll be out there, and then the big crew of Bobby and Zach and Mike and Deuce, they'll be there. And on Saturday, Deuce is going to be in Nashville, of course. He's going to announce one of the Saints' picks. And Saturday, Deuce is going to be back, so he will be with Zach at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in Covington for Saints draft Saturday. Steve Court and I will kick it off at 9 a.m., and then at 11, all those guys come in, and you can hang out with us, just like last year up at Walk-On's. It was a great location last year, and absolutely loved it, and glad that we're going to be able to go back there again. Text from the 504, I know it's not LSU, but can Tulane host a regional? Can they? Yes. Will they? No. Their RPI is not high enough. You're talking about baseball. They haven't won enough games as a team from a non-Power 5 conference. So, no, Tulane is not going to be hosting a regional. In fact, right now the odds are that LSU won't be hosting a regional either. Once again, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, should the Saints trade up in the draft? Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Mickey Loomis. We heard from him a lot today. We're going to play some sound from Mickey, and he answers, I'm sure, a lot of the questions you have about the Saints' plans coming into the draft. He's coy, like always. Doesn't say a ton, but he does say enough for you to get some insight. So, Mickey Loomis and your phone calls next on the program. And the phone line again, 504-260-1870. Text line, 870-870. Thanks for listening. The last lap, just getting started on WWL. Get to Mickey Loomis in just a little bit. We heard from the Saints general manager on the draft, possible plans to trade up or down, and also about the Saints' chances in the 2019 season, talked about their schedule, talked about Marcus Davenport, lots of good stuff from Mickey Loomis. We'll hear that in just a second, but first let's go to those phone lines. Pierre in Gentilly, what's going on today, Pierre?
Hey, what's going on, Seth? How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good, dude. What's up?
I just wanted to comment on the draft. I know normally, you know, previous years, you know, I would be excited around this time.
Sure.
But I think the lack of, you know, not having a first rounder kind of take away, you know, temper some of that excitement.
Okay, let me ask you this, Pierre. It's rhetorical a little bit, but what round was Michael Thomas drafted in?
Round two. I don't remember.
What about Alvin Kamara?
The third round.
Right.
You're right.
You know, there's lots of examples here. You know, Marcus Colston. And the point is, lots of great football players can be found outside of that first round, Pierre. So I don't think that should temper your excitement at all.
You're right. And I wanted to ask you, what, I guess, in the later rounds, what do you expect, you know, the Saints, you know, position the Saints to really go after in those later rounds when we have more draft picks?
Well, they're going to use their philosophy that's worked very well for them over the past few years, especially since Jeff Ireland's come on board, and that is you draft the best player available. That doesn't mean they don't have needs. They do. They have needs at tight end. They probably have a need at wide receiver. You always have a need at defensive line and in the secondary. And now you have a need at offensive line and center. So the needs are there. The needs are obvious, and we expect them to plug or fill most of those. Maybe receivers the one question mark. It just depends on how comfortable they are going into the season with that stable of receivers. Basically, they had last year that's coming back. It's good questions, though, Pierre. And look, we're going to find out. These questions will be answered this week. It's only a couple of days away now. The NFL draft getting started on Thursday, now in Nashville. Deuce McAllister will be out there on day two to announce the Saints' pick in the second round. So Mickey Loomis, we told you, he talked with the media today. And speaking of best player available, good little segue here. Did free agency put them in a position to go BPA? And well, Loomis said, you know what I said, that's what they usually do. 62 is where the Saints pick first. And Pierre, Mickey Loomis basically answers your question here about, you think they're going to be able to find a good player at that spot with their first pick in the second round, of course, assuming they don't make any trades up. Here's what Loomis said about that. Yeah. You've gotten really good players in that spot, in and around that spot in recent years. There's no reason to believe with how well they've scouted and drafted recently, the Saints aren't going to find a heck of a football player there. They should. It would be a surprise if they did not. Now, lots of talk about trades. The Saints consider moving up. We told you that is a huge jump here from 62 all the way up into the first round, which, of course, the last pick in the first round is 32. So could the Saints trade up into the first round? I don't expect them to, but here's how Loomis answered that question. I don't know exactly what they'd have to give up in order to make that move. You'd have to either be players and a pick, or a player in picks, or something like a first rounder next year, plus your second rounder this year, plus more. That's just a ton of assets, especially considering, or last year, they traded up into the first round or up higher in the first round to select Marcus Davenport. Are you going to use more assets and sell more assets to move higher into the draft again? The only way that happens is if they have a player that is very high on their board that falls. And say somebody they have is a top 15 pick. If that person falls all the way into the lower part of that first round, you might see them make a move, but it's highly unlikely something like that's going to happen. Now, trading up into the second round, we know they love to be aggressive. That's a more likely possibility, and Loomis said that. A lot more difficult. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. They are ultra-aggressive, and they have been through the entirety of the Peyton Loomis era in New Orleans. If you think that they're going to eschew that philosophy and all of a sudden become conservative on draft day just because they do not have a first-round pick, we haven't been paying attention. They're going to be aggressive. Whether that means moving up into the first round and the second round, that doesn't mean they're not being aggressive. Like Mickey said, that is a large leap to move up from 62 all the way into the first round. We had a texter, what are the Saints' picks this year? Well, you've got round two, and then you've got rounds 5, 6, and 7. It's because all the assets that you've sent away recently in making trades. This is what happens. Not saying those weren't good trades. I'm not criticizing those trades. I think the jury is still out and well out on the Marcus Davenport trade, but I don't think that he's anywhere close to being ruled a bust yet. That would just be foolish. So I'm not saying trading up previously, especially in recent years, hasn't worked out. I'm just telling you that's what they have right now. You have a dearth of any kind of assets in the top half of the draft. I mean, round two is it. Pick 62 is it in the first four rounds. Trading back almost never happens with this team. In previous years, when I've done shows leading up to the draft, I have advocated for trading back and accumulating picks. It's a strategy that has worked extremely well for some of the best-run franchises in the league, from Baltimore to New England to Seattle. The Packers for a long time operated that way. I don't know if you're going to see the Saints move back. It just hasn't been their modus operandi. But do you think that the Saints would trade back? Or I guess Loomis was asked, is it accurate to say this team and he does not like to trade back? Logan, this is cut 9. I mean, you have to say that. You can't say, no, we're not going to trade back. Then you close the door, that proverbial door, to any offers, some really good offers that you might get there. I will say I'd be surprised if they trade back out of that round two, unless you're going to get multiple picks in the third and fourth rounds for it, and you just may. But let's be honest. We're always surprised now if this team trades back anywhere in the draft at any time. Lots more Loomis we have. We'll play it this hour and throughout the show. Him on the schedule, on Marcus Davenport and more, but let's get to the phone lines as we have a few callers. G in Slidell. You want to talk the draft? G, what's up?
Said, first of all, I'm glad you're back.
Hey, thanks. Me too.
But 2 weeks ago, they had ABC and I guess CBS.
We're partners with CBS Radio now. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Man, some of them, terrible. Anyway, with the Saints having a second round pick, And with the needs, I think the tight end and offensive line, because our center's leaving, retiring.
Yeah, those seem like two very big ones, G. Do you have any specific, player?
No,
or
that's
any...
what I was going to ask you. If I know you got contact with Mike DeTillier.
Sure, yeah. And
which is his opinion on that?
Yeah, well, my finger on it, that's too far back for me to predict anybody. I mean, I would just literally be throwing, names at a wall and hoping they stick. That you just have no idea what's going to happen in front of you when you're picking at pick number 62. You just don't. You don't know who's going to be there. You don't know who will be gone. You don't know what first-round graded talents are going to be available in that spot. You might have a guy or two in that spot that you had first-round grades on. And regardless of position, you're probably scooping them up. Thanks for the call, G. How about Bill in Slidell? Bill, welcome to the show. Bill, you there? Bill's not there. We'll put him back on hold. I know a lot of people going up to Slidell. The causeway was closed. Todd Benesses had to stick around a little longer because of that. So I think the causeway was back open. They had a big accident on that causeway, and they shut down both the northbound and southbound lanes of the causeway. So hope everybody made it back to the North Shore if you were driving home tonight, or if you still are, drive safe. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll: should the Saints trade up in the draft? It's a simple question, and you can cast your vote yes or no at WWL.com or the radio.com app. Also, Saints fans, on Wednesday, remember, you can meet Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick at Cadillac of New Orleans, as they will be doing Sports Talk Live there from 4 to 7 p.m. And then the Cajun Cannon and Christian will stick around until 8 just to visit with you, even after they are off the air. We'll take a break for news. Just 1 minute. We are back with Doug Mouton of WWL-TV to talk NFL draft. And we're going to ask him about the Pelicans and his take on the David Griffin hire. It's the last lap. Logan behind the glass. I'm Seth. Back after this. I've heard a lot of what G, our previous caller, said that, maybe not excited. Maybe it was Pierre this week, like you usually are with the NFL draft. Just because the Saints only have that one pick in the first four rounds, you won't have a pick on day one unless they make an unexpected trade up. But look, that doesn't mean you should be, your excitement should be muted about this draft, especially that second round pick. Just look at the recent history of the Saints' second and third round picks and their success there. So get excited about that. And, of course, Deuce is going to be announcing that pick live out in Nashville. It's going to be fun on Friday. Let's bring on in Doug Mouton, WWL-TV sports director and friend of the show, at DMoutonWWL on Twitter. You can follow him there. Doug, do you agree with me there? Like, you shouldn't really temper your excitement. It's still going to be a fun week?
No, yeah, of course. Look, the NFL draft is fun. I think it is. And the one most telling statement from Mickey Loomis today, I thought, was when he said somebody asked him about getting into the first round, and he said, getting from 62 into the first round is going to be difficult. And I thought that was the one really telling thing, because they're thinking about it. They'd love to. But the Saints don't just have a second-round pick. It's not like they pick 42. They pick 62. It's almost a third-round pick. I mean, it is at the end of round two. So getting up into round one, although I'm not saying it's out of the question, it becomes really difficult from an asset standpoint. But I'll say this, adding a second pick in round two or adding in round three, I would be shocked if the Saints actually only have one player out of the first four rounds of the draft.
No, I'm
with
you.
My guess is, yeah. Well, look, they've made 15 trade ups since 07. Some have worked, some haven't worked, but the Saints are going to be aggressive. Sitting around and being patient and waiting their turn is just not their thing.
No, and it hasn't been their thing, like you said, laid it out perfectly, since Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton have been together for this franchise. It's going to be so hard, though, Doug, for them to be as aggressive as they want, because they only have, not only do they just have that pick in the second round for only one in the top 100, that's their only pick in the first four rounds of the draft. It almost, and they don't, they've never done this, so I'm not expecting them to trade back, but if there was one year, like you said, where they wanted to acquire more picks and multiple picks in that third and fourth round, then maybe this is finally the year where we see a trade back. I don't know.
Yeah, although the argument against that is they don't need a ton of help. Look, last year they drafted seven guys. By the end of the year, only three of them were still in New Orleans.
Good point.
It's a hard roster to crack. Mickey Loomis talked about that today, and it's true, and I believe that. If you look at every position group, they got a lot of guys. There are not going to be many roster spots up for grabs when training camp begins. So you could argue this is the year when, if you're going to trade up, this is one of the years when you would want to do that because you don't have that many holes. And I'll say this, they've got those five picks late, but they've also got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 next year that they have not hesitated. Last year they traded away this year's one. 2 years ago when they took Kamara in the third round, they gave away the next year's two. When they took Mark Ingram in round one, they gave away the next year's one. They haven't been afraid to trade away next year's picks. That's three times that they've given away either the first or the second round pick the next year, and they'll do that again. There's somebody they like in round two. They could trade them a 5 or a 6 this year and next year's one and get the deal done. I'm not endorsing that. I'm not saying that's what they should
do. Sure.
I'm just saying that is their history. So I would say once we get past about 20 picks into this draft, be on the lookout because the Saints could – I doubt they can get into the end of round one, but it's possible.
Right. Yeah, high alert. You always want to be on high alert when this team is drafting. There's no doubt about it. Talking to Doug Mouton, sports director for WWL TV Channel 4. You mentioned needs, and certainly a hot topic this week on sports radio. What are the big needs? Is center a big need for them, Doug? They have Nick Easton, who they brought in. They also have Cameron Tom, but of course we know Unger's retirement right before the free agency period hit them a little bit at that spot.
Yeah, no question about it. But I'll say, Unger announced his retirement on a Saturday that came out. Nick Easton had already visited on Thursday before that, so clearly the Saints saw this coming. Yeah, I would not put center as a great – look, the three – I looked through this roster for a long time on Sunday, yesterday, to write a story for Fourth Down and Four, and I thought the three biggest things they needed – one, I think they need a defensive tackle because – Sheldon Rankins could miss – well, you got Malcolm Brown in free agency, but Sheldon Rankins could miss significant time. David Onyemata, who then becomes your two early in the season, could be suspended. That leaves you with Taylor Stallworth, an undrafted free agent last year who did some good things. Obviously would need to take a step forward. He might be your best guy in week one after Malcolm Brown. They could definitely use a rotational player at defensive tackle. I think that's one. Then two is, I believe this more than Sean Payton and the Saints do, I think they need a wide receiver. I think obviously Mike Thomas is as good as it gets. Ted Ginn is 34 heading into the season. Keith Kirkwood and Traquan Smith both did some good things last year. Both will have to take a step forward. We don't know what we're getting in Cam Meredith. And you want to play three of those guys. And right now I got one I can count on, hopefully two in Ted Ginn, then a bunch of question marks for the three. I would certainly like to see him go get a big wide receiver that could play in the slot. Jared Cook certainly helps in the passing game. It does mitigate that a little bit, but I still think you need a wide receiver. Then third thing, maybe not so much center because you need tackle depth. They could certainly use some depth on the offensive line. But if they keep all five of those late picks, take two or three offensive linemen, hope one or two of them stick around, and you can make projects. To me, those are the three areas that I think, for me, have the biggest asterisk.
Yeah, I had people asking me on Twitter, are the Saints going to draft a quarterback this year? I said, I can't see that, not with Teddy back this year, but maybe, I guess. It'd have to be a later round pick, though, Doug, right? I just don't see that as any a need at all for them right now.
Yeah, and actually, I thought Mickey Loomis almost teased that a little bit. He was asked the positions of the draft that he thinks are the strongest, and he mentioned quarterback, and he said it's really deep, which maybe I just heard this, and he didn't mean it this way. I thought, oh, well, that means they've got a bunch of quarterbacks they like late. Maybe they do take a shot in round 6 or 7 at a quarterback. I definitely don't think it's a need spot. Teddy Bridgewater is the highest paid backup quarterback in the NFL at $7.25 million this coming season. Obviously, you're making a big investment in a guy you hope will be your quarterback of the future. He's the 22nd highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's making more money this coming season than 10 starters. And Taysom Hill, Sean Payton goes on and on about his ability to be an NFL quarterback. So it seems like you have those guys. Although I also was reading a story about the New England Patriots, and with look, it's the model franchise, whether you like them or not, just for the amount of games they've won. And they believe quarterbacks have the highest value in the draft, because if you can hit on one, even if you don't keep them, they have the biggest trade value. New England has made that work with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, trading them and getting more value back than what they put into it. So it, from a value standpoint, it doesn't hurt to take a quarterback if they feel like there's a guy in those last couple of rounds that might have a shot.
Yeah, and it's before those guys, Matt Cassel or Brian Hoyer.
No, right.
Yeah.
A whole series. Their organizational philosophies are extremely interesting. Trading back 29 times since 07. I said the Saints have traded up 15 times. They've traded back 29 times. The number of trades they make is mind-boggling. And they also manipulate the NFL's supplemental pick system to where they trade for veterans more so than they go sign free agents, and then they lose free agents. So every year they're getting extra draft picks from the NFL because they've lost more free agents than they've signed. They manipulate things. They work systems in ways that the Ravens do that too with those supplemental picks. But it's really interesting some of the things the Patriots do to sort of give themselves extra chances in the draft.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to bring up those two. I said that right before we got on air, Doug, that there's teams like the Saints who are ultra-aggressive, and that's their philosophy at draft time. And then you have teams that are always trading back. And I said the Patriots, the Ravens, the Seahawks, the Packers are usually the ones to do that and just gobble up a ton of picks and then hope something sticks. That's what they do.
Yeah, and look, I'll say this. Around 2012 and 2013, when things were or maybe 2014, when things weren't going great for the Saints, I remember saying on air and thinking how much it drove me up a wall that they would trade away these picks. And I've kind of come full circle on the Saints' aggressive theory. Look, the Saints' theory, under Sean Payton, this team is going to be ultra-aggressive in every way. They're going to onside kick in the Super Bowl. They're going to a lot of the national criticism that Payton got for throwing on first down with under 2 minutes to go in the NFC Championship, that's just what he's going to do. He's going to trade up. Everything about the way he runs the team is going to be aggressive. The results speak for themselves. So to me, if you want a conservative coach who's going to trade back and gobble up picks, you got to get another coach, because Sean Payton is not wired that way. So either you accept the aggressiveness when it works and when it doesn't work, or go find another coach.
Yeah,
amen. Those are your only two questions, only two choices. You cannot make Sean Payton not be aggressive.
Amen. That's well said, Doug. Do you have any thoughts on the Saints schedule that was released last week? I don't think I've talked to you since then.
Yeah, you know, Mickey Loomis said it today, and I've heard a lot of people say how hard it is and they're not happy about it. I love the really difficult games right at the beginning, because nobody remembers those games by December. I say get them over with, get them done, and get better as the season goes on. Your team in September often doesn't resemble the team by December. So you knew who you played anyway. There was no surprise by who they played. It was just the order. And it's a tough first four. So good. Get it over with. Have the back end be slow down a little bit for you. I think it's a schedule that sets up well for them. They only got one Thursday game. I know they hate Thursday games. One is the least they were going to get, so I think that's a good thing. They got the bye right in week 9 in the middle of the season. There's been weeks when they've had it so early in the year that it almost doesn't help. Now, there's a lot of things I like about the Saints schedule, but front-loading is not a bad thing, I don't think.
No, and that Thursday game, I just think, I wonder if the NFL sees those Saints-Falcons ratings, and they're just going to make that a staple on Thanksgiving now, second straight year that that's happened, and I don't believe they've done that since they went to 3 games on Thanksgiving. I mean, it's the first time you see a team play each other back-to-back, especially when it's not the Cowboys or those Lions games.
Yeah, I would agree. I would expect to see that for a while, unless the Falcons completely fall off the table. And I'll say this, from a TV standpoint, nationally, the Saints overperform all the national averages. I'm not talking about locally. Locally, the TV ratings are absurd when the Saints play. I mean, literally, the 15 highest-rated TV shows of last year in New Orleans are 15 Saints games. But nationally, the Saints overperform every average. And networks love the Saints. I mean, the Saints bring – it's a small-market team. I think, simply put, the Saints have been fun to watch for the last decade or so, and I think football fans watch them. The Chiefs are overperforming national averages, too, now with Pat Mahomes quarterbacking, because they're fun to watch. So from a national standpoint, you're going to see the Saints with a lot of – I mean, they do have a lot of national TV games. I wouldn't be surprised if they got flexed into a couple of more, because they're fun to watch.
Well, draft week is here, Doug. It's always fun. This year is going to be no different. It's because the Saints don't have a first-round pick, I think you and I agree. Still going to be must-watch television. Really appreciate the chat, Doug. We'll do it again. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Seth.
All right, Doug Mouton, WWL-TV Sports Director, at DMouton, WWL. You can find him on Twitter. We're opening up the phone lines for you now. What do you think about the Saints draft? What do you think about their plans to either trade up or trade down? What would you do? 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. Open lines for you now. And our text line is 870-870. And we do have a texter telling us the Causeway is indeed back open now. Back after this on The Last Lap. We're keeping an eye on the NBA and NHL playoffs tonight. Bucks trying to close out the Pistons. Pistons, though, 76-75 lead in the third quarter. Later tonight, the Rockets will try to sweep the Jazz. They're up 3-0 in that series, 9:30 the start time there. In the NHL, third period, the Carolina Hurricanes trying to stay alive against the Caps. 3-2 they lead. And also the Stars, who lead their series against the Predators. They're at home tonight. Late first period, Predators a 1-0 lead on the Stars. We'll keep you updated on those throughout the night. Let's go to the phone lines. New York Sam, welcome to the show. What's going on?
How you doing, Seth? Thanks for taking my call this evening. I wanted to talk a little bit about why the wide receivers, as they're looking in the draft. I personally don't necessarily want to see us take a receiver, but I guess my overall question is, when you're looking at the pick at 62, would Traquan Smith be there at 62 if he was in this draft? And I guess that's the way you got to look at it. If the guys that are available at 62 are higher rated than Traquan, you got to give yourself a chance.
Well, that's it.
What do you think about
that? No, I think that is spot on, Sam. 100% right. If they have somebody with a draft grade that is significantly higher than the place that they're picking at, you have to pick that person. I mean, you just must. You would be doing yourself, you'd be doing your franchise a disservice if you did not do that. Now, the Saints have a pretty darn good stable of wide receivers right now, I believe, especially if they can stay healthy. We know about Michael Thomas, Kirkwood, Smith, Ginn. They're going to add to that, likely, whether that's in the draft or an undrafted free agency. I don't know how comfortable they would be in rolling out the same guys that they had last year. Of course, Cameron Meredith is part of that group. But maybe they do. Maybe they think Cameron Meredith's going to be back. Maybe they think Traquan will stay healthy. The other guys like Kirkwood will develop, and Michael Thomas will continue to be one of the best receivers in the NFL. Certainly a possibility there. Speaking of next year's schedule, Mickey Loomis was asked, what do you think of that schedule? It was rolled out last week. Doug and I talked about it. Doug Mouton, last segment. Really tough first 4 weeks outside of that. I like it, just like he does. Here's what Mickey Loomis said. Mickey Loomis today with the media. Yeah, they had back-to-back trips to Los Angeles and then Seattle. Weeks 2 and 3, certainly brutal. We'll take a break. We'll have an update on the opinion poll coming back. Should the Saints trade up in the draft? The Last Lap continues here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for all well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.